Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're going to be reading chapter 7, text 30, the final verse of chapter 7. If you have your book, you can chant responsively. Let's see what happens. Sadhi Bhutadi Daivamam. Sadhi Yagyam Cha Ye Vidho. Prayana Kale Pichamam. Te Vidur Yukta Chaitasaha. Translation, those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Persons acting in Krishna consciousness are never deviated from the path of entirely understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the transcendental association of Krishna consciousness, one can understand how the Supreme Lord is the governing principle of the material manifestation and even of the demigods. Gradually, by such transcendental association, one becomes convinced of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and at the time of death, such a Krishna conscious person can never forget Krishna. Naturally, he is thus promoted to the planet of the Supreme Lord, Goloka Vrindavan. Paragraph. This seventh chapter particularly explains how one can become a fully Krishna conscious person. The beginning of Krishna consciousness is association of persons who are Krishna conscious. Such association is spiritual and puts one directly in touch with the Supreme Lord. And by His grace, one can understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, one can really understand the constitutional position of the living entity and how the living entity forgets Krishna and becomes entangled in material activities. By gradual development of Krishna consciousness, in good association, the living entity can understand that, due to forgetfulness of Krishna, he has become conditioned by the laws of material nature. He can also understand that this human form of life is an opportunity to regain Krishna consciousness, and that it should be fully utilized to attain the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. Final paragraph. Many subjects have been discussed in this chapter. The man in distress, the inquisitive man, the man in want of material necessities, knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of Paramatma, liberation from birth, death, disease, worship of the Supreme Lord. However, he was actually elevated in Krishna consciousness, does not care for the different processes. He simply engages himself in activities of Krishna consciousness and thereby factually attains his constitutional position as an eternal servitor of Lord Krishna. In such a situation, he takes pleasure in hearing and glorifying the Supreme Lord in pure devotional service. He is convinced that by his doing so, all his objectives will be fulfilled. This determination, this determined faith, is called Dridha Vrata. And it is the beginning of bhakti, or transcendental loving service. That is the verdict of all scriptures. The seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita is the substance of that conviction. So I understand that many of you are engaged in study, systematic study of our devotional texts. Of course, core devotional text is Bhagavad Gita. And just before coming to India, I was in China. And in China, they don't know who is Krishna. And in India, people think they know who is Krishna. Which do you think is the easier audience? The one who knows they don't know, or the one who thinks they know and they don't know? I'll leave it up to you to decide. But at least you're familiar, all are familiar with the terms, and by studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, there's a wonderful opportunity, studying again and again, and hearing again and again, and discussing again and again. Slowly, the identity of Krishna emerges from the pages of Bhagavad Gita, because the message of Bhagavad Gita is Krishna. Krishna is speaking, but the message is revealing Him. So, we'll take a little plunge into the nectar of Bhagavad Gita and see what we come up with. So, this is the final verse of chapter 7, Bhagavad Gita. Just like in a conversation, you may begin with a certain point and end with a certain point. Introduction, conclusion, and substance in between. So what is the... This is a summary of what Krishna says at the beginning of chapter 7. At the beginning of chapter 7, Krishna declares, I'm now going to explain how you can achieve the topmost form of yoga. He's making a promise. So in chapter 7, he's fulfilling that promise, and of course, even the next 5 chapters, because the middle 6 chapters, the subject is bhakti, how to attain perfection. Beginning, intermediate, and perfection in bhakti. And then the destination. Because this verse is the destination, is to go back to Godhead. And then there's the how-to. In this verse, there's an introduction, there's review of some previous subjects, and there's some introduction to new subjects. So we'll go back to chapter 3, Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 3, Bhagavad Gita. Where Krishna is explaining the principle of karma yoga. What is karma yoga? Karma yoga is, well, there's different types of karma yoga, but in principle, it's taking that which you do and the fruit of that which you do according to prescribed duties for mankind and offering the fruit of what you do to the Supreme. Sacrifice, yajna, rendering that which is of this world connected to that world, to the spiritual world, by yajna, by sacrifice. Rendering sacred that which is worldly, making it otherworldly. Sacrifice. Karma yoga. The fruits of your activity are offered to the Supreme. Because without karma yoga, we have karma. Fruit of activity, being attached to the fruits of your work. Mode of passion, binding on the conditioned soul, struggling, endlessly struggling. Daivihi eshu guna mayi mama maya duratya ya 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 ya. Very difficult struggle. Very difficult struggle. So to get release from that karmic struggle, yajna, to enter the Supreme. So I'm going to focus on this word sacrifice because it's in the coming set of understandings, adi daivam, adi bhautam, and adi yajnam. It's right in the verse. Krishna says in this verse, the one that we just recited, the concluding verse, is one who understands that I, Krishna is the predominating principle. He's the Lord of sacrifice. He's the Lord of the demigods. He's the predominating principle of material nature, material creation. In person, through his various potencies, he's doing all these things. So now, just for the moment, we're focusing on sacrifice. Because it's a subject that's been spoken about in chapter 3, in chapter 4, and now again, in a summary way, in chapter 7. So chapter 3, what does Krishna say about sacrifice? Yajnartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed, otherwise one will be bound by the reactions to the fruits of one's work. It's a liberating position. It must be performed. Human life. It must be performed. That means those persons with two legs that don't perform sacrifice, they're not human yet. Dvipada Pashu, in the language of the Bhagavatam, two-legged animals. So human life is performing sacrifice. Sacrifice unto Vishnu must be performed, otherwise one is bound by the fruits of one's work. And then Krishna says, in the very beginning of creation, I sent forth generations of men and demigods, and with them, this principle, this teaching, this opportunity of rendering sacrifice unto Vishnu. It's as old as creation is. It's even before creation. Because it's a principle of living entities in their liberated state. And when we're conditioned, we can become liberated through the principle of sacrifice. Chapter 3. Now we'll go to chapter 4. Krishna expands in the Transcendental Knowledge chapter on the concept of sacrifice. You can look up the verses later, but it starts with verse 24 of chapter 4. And it's a very important verse. It begins a series of 10 verses in which the principle of sacrifice is explained. Some of you know the verse. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagno brahmano hutam brahmaiva tena gantavyam brahma karma svabhavajam. A little story. In America, one of the places that I visit is in the central part of the United States, Memphis, Tennessee, and there's a group of Indian families that come together. And one of them, I found out after some time, he wrote his own commentary on Bhagavad Gita. One of the persons in the audience. And then I learned that he's a Mayavadi, hearing Bhagavad Gita as it is. And in fact, he learned what he knew from Shingeri Math. He was like, you know, he's connected to staunch Mayavad. And then one day he surprised me. We were just walking together, and he said, "There's a very nice verse. I thought you would appreciate hearing it." He recited Shikshastakam 3. Trinadapi suniche na tororiva sahishnu na amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. And I said, "Where did you hear that?" He said, "It's one of the favorite verses of Shankaracharya." No, it's not Shankaracharya because he came before Lord Chaitanya. But the followers in Shingeri Math, they like that verse. Trinadapi suniche na taroriva. Because it describes qualities that a saintly person naturally carries. And then later I learned, because he shared this with me, that when we, before we honor prasadam, we say a prayer. Sharira vidyajal chatendriya tahi kaljibi pinibisaya sagari. Do you know what the prayer is that they say in Shringeri Math before they honor whatever it is? Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text 24. That's what he told me. I've never been there, so I can't verify, but that's what he told me. It's the principle of sacrifice. You take something that's here, the act of eating. How do you elevate the act of eating to a transcendental position if you're a Mayavadi? You recite this verse, that's all. Because that which is of this plane can be rendered to the transcendental plane by the act of sacrifice. You with me? I'm describing sacrifice because it's in the verse that we were speaking about this evening. So here's the translation of that verse. A person, this is Prabhupada, a person who's fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom. Because that's what this evening's verse is, or this afternoon's verse, going back to Godhead. Attain the spiritual kingdom. Because of his full contribution to spiritual activities in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. So, here's matter, and then there's spirit, and there's the Supreme Spirit. The Bhagavad Gita, as it is understanding, is there is a supreme soul, and that which is of this plane, the soul can choose to offer to the supreme through the act of sacrifice, and it thereby, or that which is offered to the supreme, becomes sacred or spiritualized. Yes? Then the following nine verses, Krishna says, they're different approaches to sacrifice. Some do it this way. I'm not going to read the whole list. Some do it that way. Some like the sacrifice of this. Some like the sacrifice of that. but I'm the principal that they're sacrificing unto. And I've given these different types of sacrifice according to one's faith in the goal. But if they don't understand the goal properly, they'll do it this way, or they'll do it that way, or they'll do it some other way. So it's important to know what's the goal, as well as it's important to know the principle. So a human being is one that abides by that principle. They live under the codes of the Vedas, and they do it this way. And some do it that way, some do it a different way. Then all of those different principles lead to elevation of consciousness, that is, the coverings of the soul are removed, and then one gets closer and closer and closer to the supreme destination. Chapter 4. At the end of chapter 6, Krishna says, of all those that are in the process of elevation, best of all are the yogis. And of all the yogis, best of all are those who engage in my shraddhavan bhajate yo mam samayuktatamomataha. They're the best of all of the elevated souls. And then he begins chapter 7. Now, I'm going to explain how you do it. And he does, as Prabhupada has summarized in the last paragraph of this purport. So now we're at this very elevated state of consciousness where one has firm confidence. Firm confidence, great faith. Sound familiar, those of you that have studied Bhagavad Gita? Try chapter 2, text 41. Vyavasayatmika buddhir eke ha kurunandana. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. Vyavasayatmika buddhi means eke ha kurunandana, where one's activity, everything is focused on one thing. Everything focused on one thing. Diversity of activity, fine. Focused on one thing. And what's that one thing? If I can just attain devotion and devotional service to the Supreme, everything else will follow. Everything else. Read carefully that purport. It's very beautiful. Very, very. You can read that purport every day and still not understand it all. It's so rich. It's so thick and creamy. In that purport, Prabhupada explains, he gives a definition of faith. And he quotes Lord Chaitanya. Shraddha Shabde Vishvas Kahi Sudrita Nishchaya Krishne Bhakti. Shraddha is Vishvas, it's confidence. It's exactly the words used in this purport. Strong confidence, unchangeable confidence, not soft and pliable confidence, firm confidence. If I achieve one thing, all other desirable things will be achieved. And faith is operative in the life of everybody, even if they don't have faith in Krishna. Because faith is intrinsic to the soul. Arjuna asks Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, if people don't have faith in you, won't they have faith in something else? In other words, is not faith intrinsic to the soul, natural for the soul? Yes. Faith according to the modes of nature. Faith is intrinsic to the soul, so if it doesn't go to Krishna, it goes somewhere. So let's think of the materialist. Think of somebody that you know is very materialistic, like hardcore materialistic. Get money. Money, 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 money. When they're brushing their teeth, it's getting money. When they're walking around the house, it's how do I get money? They see something, how can I sell it to get some money? Money, money, money. Because if you get money, then you can, all the things that you want, you can get. I mean, it's not true, but that's the faith. Just get money. I heard Radhanath Maharaj describe once that his father was like that, and when he was very old and his sister, his father's sister, was dying, he spent all his money to save his sister's life and make her life more comfortable, and it didn't happen. And he had this realization, all this money can't buy happiness. I've chased my whole life getting money. I got money, but I didn't get happiness. Anyway, you're here because you understand that also. But a materialist thinks their faith goes to get money. Or we'll, you know, take some other example. A politician, get the post. By hook or by crook, get the post. Promise people whatever you can't deliver just so you get the post. Or the Olympic athlete. Their whole life, they sacrifice their social life, their family life, their everything so they can get the gold medal. They're driven. You can't achieve what they achieve without that sacrifice. Everything is to get the one thing. And the life of a devotee is Krishna Bhakti. Sarva Karma Krita Hoya. Everything else is... Prabhupada gives this example. A queen is provided by the king. Everything. Nice clothing, nice ornaments, assistants. And as she moves about the palace, she goes here, and the assistants follow her here, and they follow her there. But she's not thinking about the ornaments and the nice clothes. Good queen is thinking not about, you know, how I'm getting so many nice services from my attendants. She's just thinking of the king. That's a good queen. She's just thinking of her husband, the king, and serving the king. So a devotee is like that. That's the teaching of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 41. Full faith, full confidence, just by this one thing, all of the things will be achieved. That's chapter 2. In chapter 7, the same idea. Because now Krishna has promised, how do you get there? How do you achieve that? So, three verses ago, 7:28. Yesham tuntakatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta vajante mam dridhavrata. Nirdhavata is quoted in the last sentence of this purport. This is Dridhavrata. This is Dridhavrata, where that single-minded attention to achieve the shelter of Krishna. One thing, and all other things will come. So I don't have to worry about the all other things. I may do them responsibly, conscientiously, but there's one thing. So there's my family, there's my career, there's my, you know, fix something in the house and take care of my relatives. But there's one thing in all of those things. Krishna is to be pleased. Krishna is to be pleased. And then all other desirable things will follow. There may be some struggle, there's always some struggle, but desirable things will follow. And one who has that conviction, that's the Dridhavrata person. So, Prabhupada is connecting this verse, final verse, this is text 30, to text 28, where one has lived one's life very similar to what we heard in the morning Bhagavatam class, just the language is different. Yesham Tvantikatam Papam, one who has given up sinful activities. The morning verse was a description of King Yudhisthira, who was a pious king. He would follow theistic conduct. He would never lie. And he was the emblem of Dharma. A religious person. That's good. Hard to find such a person today. But that's just the beginning. Being religious, following codes of conduct, good. But it's not. That's not the conclusion. Yesham tvantikatam papam jananam punya karmanam. And there's different, so punya karma, pious activities, our acharyas, I'll specifically refer to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says there are different kinds of punya. Did you know that? He presents three different kinds. One kind of punya delivers material elevation. You do good activity, acts of kindness and philanthropy and things like that, altruism, opening hospitals, feeding people, taking care of people that have little because you have something. You give something to those that don't have. The classic Vedic example is planting trees by the side of the road and digging wells. Punya. And it results in elevation to the heavenly planets. Karma Sukriti. And then there's Moksha Sukriti. That's the classic is the studying of the Upanishads through the process of knowledge, cultivation of knowledge, where one, the fruit of that is liberation. By the way, Krishna speaks of that several places in Bhagavad Gita. There's two classes of transcendentalists, those that are using the process of Gyan, and those that are following the process of Bhakti. So specifically, the process of Bhakti, Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti, where, for example, devotees will conduct a Rath Yatra festival. For example. And we go and have kirtan, and take Lord Jagannath on the cart, and distribute prasad, and all kinds of people are getting the beginning of their devotional service by hearing the holy name, by seeing the form of the deity, taking Krishna prasad. They may not have a clue what it is. That's okay. I mean, especially in the West. But here also, so many people, their devotional service is being nurtured by those activities, even unknowingly. And you accumulate that more and more and more, and gradually devotion can come. Genuine devotion can come. Before coming to India, I was at a home program. And a man came up afterwards. He was real enthusiastic to greet. And he came and he paid obeisances. And he said, "I'm from a Muslim family." He paid obeisances and he said, "I'm from a Muslim family." And I was at a gym, you know, where you work out. And the person next to me was a devotee. And some conversation in a gym. Not on Rath Yatra, but in a gym. Some conversation. They gave me some prasadam. And we just started a discussion, and I found it very interesting, so they gave me a book. And then the next time at the gym, more conversation, and then another book, and then now I'm chanting 16 rounds. And I appreciate what a wonderful teaching this is. It just began with going to the gym, but representing Krishna in a way that was pleasing to the other person, not the other kind, displeasing or pushy or condescending or something. And he was so happy to declare, I'm now chanting 16 rounds. And I'm very happy in my spiritual practice. So, devotional service, as Prabhupada is saying in this purport, begins with association. It begins with association. We all began with association, and we're also to give association, having received it. That which you received, you can give to others. Something. Maybe not everything, but something. And devotional service begins. So, jananam punya karmanam, that kind of punya, devotional service kind. Te dvandva moha nirmukta, gradually cultivating that devotional service seed, one rises above duality. Dvandva, duality. And can come to the stage of dridha vrata. Dridha. Vrata means vow, and dridha vrata means great vow. Dridha vrata, firm vow. So, last part. This, in the verse, text 30, adibhutam, adidaivam, adiyagyam, chaye vidhu. Krishna is the basis and support of everything. Pratishtha. Just like I'm seated on a nice big seat here. But the nice big seat is being held by the platform. And the platform is held by the marble floor. And the marble floor is held by support beams. And the support beams are, we watch them make the pilings into the ground, and the ground is holding up the pilings. And ultimately, what's holding up the earth is Anantashesh. And he is the basis and support of us sitting here. I'm sitting here, you're sitting. So Krishna is the pratishtha, this is chapter 14, of Brahman, which is the basis and support of the material creation. I'll just spend a little bit of time, 2-3 minutes, on sharing with you some study that I've been doing. In January, I developed a desire to study Sri Brahma Samhita and present it. Sri Brahma Samhita is a book that was liked very much by Lord Chaitanya. When he was on his South India tour, when he went to the Adi Keshava temple way down South India, he visited the temple and the priest showed him this Sri Brahma Samhita. Just hearing the book, he began to dance in ecstasy. Because it reveals the truths about Krishna in these same manners. Adi Daivam, Adi Bhautam, and Adi Yagyam. He is the principle of material nature. In detail, it's a little skinny book, but in detail, because it's packed, like sutra-like, very compressed, and you have to unpack it a bit. But it expresses the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam in some detail. The principle of Srimad Bhagavatam is same as the invocation verse of Sri Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. And it describes Krishna Loka. It's really an amazing. You read Bhakti Siddhanta's language and you want to close the book. But you have patience and go through it, and It's a picture of the spiritual world. I'll just do it a little bit with you. It describes there a hexagonal, six-sided. So, do, nu, nu, do, six-sided. Or three pointed triangles, and then upside down three pointed triangles. And you connect the points of the triangles, and you get six. Six-sided. That's the center of Goloka. In the center is Radha Krishna. And the six sides are the phrases or the words of the Gopal mantra. And that's the abode of Krishna. It's like a flower that has that flat part in the center, and then the petals come out. Like a lotus, right? In this center flat part. And then the petals are the abodes of the gopis. And where the petals connect with the central part, that's the pathways. And then, you know, that's like, there. And later it says in the same Srimad Brahmasamhita, there are tens of thousands of petals. It's a big lotus. That's Krishna Loka. Big. And lots of gopis. And then outside of that central portion is called Swetadweep. White Island, Swetadweep. And Swetadweep is the abode of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. The Chaturvyuha. This is Goloka, not Vaikuntha. Goloka. And there's all kinds of things that are also there in Swetadweep, including Lord Chaitanya. That's why there's many things. But Lord Chaitanya is there in Goloka Vrindavan. So after this, there's so much that's presented. And those, just that's verse 5. And then he goes into describing creation. There's the spiritual world, and then there's this material world from which the spiritual world comes. So Krishna expands as Balaram. Balaram expands as Sankarshan. And Sankarshan expands to Chaturvyuha in Goloka. And that Sankarshan expands the details of Goloka. And then he expands himself as Mahasankarshan in Vaikuntha. And we have a second Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev. And that Mahasankarshan expands as Mahavishnu for the purpose of creation. So this is just this Adibautam. He is the principle that's predominating material creation. So the details of the material creation, and it's like, wow, it's so much detail and detail and detail. So exactly as what Prabhupada says, how the living entity becomes entangled in the complexities of material existence is forgetfulness of his relationship with Krishna. We can be here in this material world and not be forgetful of our relationship with Krishna. Or we can be forgetful of our relationship with Krishna. Take your pick. If you want to become conscious of your relationship with Krishna, read chapter 7. And then follow it. Because it gives the principles of how to. And then continue with the other following chapters. How to. And the distinction between mixed devotion and pure devotion. Unmixed devotion. It requires an understanding of material nature and our relationship with material nature. Or as the verse said this morning, a cooperative relationship between God and the living entity and between the living entity and material nature, because God has a plan for material nature. Just accept his plan. Work within his plan. Live your life in Krishna consciousness, in other words. accepting Krishna's plan and acting accordingly. That understanding helps to get an understanding of who is Krishna. But that alone is not enough. Devotion is necessary. Devotion means practical activity. So I just want to share, I'll end with a little example of what this text 30 of chapter 7 is describing. Where there's great faith and great determination in accepting that Krishna is the Lord of material nature. He's the Lord of the demigods. He's the Lord of sacrifice. And it reference to a little narration found in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, about Kalidas, who had great faith in three things: the prasad of the devotees of the Lord, the dust from the feet of the devotees of the Lord, and the water that's washed the feet of the devotees. His name is Kalidas. And Kalidas was from a very high Brahminical family. But he, most importantly, he was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And he had great faith in the principle that Lord Chaitanya taught, as other great acharyas have taught, Ramanujacharya taught as well, the principle of serving the Vaishnavas. Rupa Goswami teaches it in Nectar Devotion, one of the five most important activities. Most potent activities of anything you can do is serve the devotees. So he wanted to serve the devotees by honoring the prasad, the remnants of the food of the devotees. So he took a vow, Dridhavrata, a great vow. His vow was he would receive the remnants of the prasad of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal. That's a lot of people. During the time of Lord Chaitanya, at least. So, using the principle of the grain of rice, you can tell the rest of the pot of the rice. He describes, Lord Krishna Das Kaviraj describes what Kalidas did for all the Vaishnavas. He went to the home of Jadu Thakur, who was a devotee, a Vaishnav Brahmin, who had a deity of Madan Gopal. And he was fixed in his Vaishnava principles and was a lover of his deity, Madan Gopal. They were from the same village or place. Kalidas went to visit Jadu Thakur. Jadu Thakur was very honored that this very exalted Vaishnava has come to my home. So he honored him properly. They sat together and for the whole day they just discussed Krishna Katha. It was time to leave. Kalidas had brought some very fragrant, lush mangoes and offered the mangoes to Jadu Thakur to offer to his deity, Madan Gopal. At the end, Jadu Thakur said, you've honored me by your presence in my home. I'm so happy. Is there anything I can do for you? And Kalidas said, yes, you can place your feet upon my head to sanctify by the dust from your feet by placing your feet on my head. And Jadu Thakur said, please don't speak like that. I'm from a low caste Brahmana family, and your caste is so much higher, and you're such an elevated Vaishnava. It would be a great offense for me to do such a thing. Then he said, his second request, then please come to my home and accept the remnants of food that I've offered to my deity. And he said, but you're from such an elevated caste. How can I do that? This wouldn't be proper. It'd not be very nice. I'm at the It would be an offense on my part. So Kalidas then recited verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. Essentially, the verse is saying, one who, they may be from a high birth, and they may know so much from the scriptures. They may know all the principles of brahminical activity perfectly, but if they're not a devotee, that person is not to be respected like a devotee who may be low-born, but is fixed in their devotion to the Supreme Lord. That person is to be honored topmost. They're a transcendentalist. One who chants the holy name, as you are doing regularly, Jadu Thakur, that person is to be honored as the topmost amongst mankind. And Jadu Thakur appreciated. He's not only an elevated person, he has deep faith in Vaishnava principles. So they parted. Kalidas made as if he was going to his home, but he didn't. He hid himself outside, behind a tree. So Jadu Thakur made an offering to his deity of the mangoes, had his wife cut the mangoes. His wife served the mango to her husband. The remnants she accepted after he had eaten. And then she took the banana leaf and wrapped up the peels and the pit of the mango and placed it in the place where you put discarded items. She went back in the house. Kalidas snuck from behind the tree, got the pit, licked the banana plate, sucked on the pit, put the peels into his mouth and was feeling ecstasy that he had taken the remnants of Jadu Thakur. And in this way, Kalidas, with great faith, Dridhavrata, great faith, and just achieving the mercy of the Vaishnavas, himself became most exalted Vaishnava. Then one time, Kalidas was in Puri for Rath Yatra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had this practice that his servant Govinda would carry his water pot, and as he was going into the temple, he would wash his feet by a little ditch by the north gate, and there's 24 steps leading up to the temple, and the rule was no one could take the water from washing his feet. Strict. Strict. Kalidas extended his palms to catch the water. Lord Chaitanya allowed him. 3 times. And he extended his hands the 4th time and said, Kalidas, I've satisfied you. That should be sufficient. Please stop. So strict. And there's a detailed description found in the Gundicha Marjana, where Lord Chaitanya was very angry when somebody else did the same thing. But with Kalidas, he allowed him, because Lord Chaitanya could understand his heart. He had great faith. And he acted with great faith again and again and again. So he gave the fullness of his mercy. And then it's described that later Kalidas went to the place where Lord Chaitanya stayed, in Gambira. And it was time for Lord Chaitanya's prasad. So he just waited outside. Lord Chaitanya was omniscient, as he knew the heart of Kalidas and allowed him to drink the water from his feet. Lord Chaitanya, without saying a word, he just gave an invitation to Govinda. When he was finished, Govinda gave the entire plate of Lord Chaitanya's Mahaprasad to Kalidas. Why? Because he had this great faith in this one thing. Serving the Vaishnavas, specifically receiving the mercy of the Vaishnavas in the form of their prasad, the dust from their feet, and the water that's washed their feet. He had great faith. And by that one great qualification, he achieved the fullness of mercy. As others, like Maharaj Pratap proved, and so many other examples of persons that just having great faith in Lord Chaitanya. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that one who has implicit faith in Lord Chaitanya, they may be lame, but they can climb great mountains. I had a knee problem, that's why I'm sitting like this instead of like this. And even just to walk upstairs was difficult. Now, physical therapy, I can walk upstairs. But climb a mountain. But one who has faith, so that resonates with me. One who has faith in Lord Chaitanya, even a lame person can climb a great mountain. Even a blind person can see the stars in the sky. And even a fool can understand the conclusive truths of the Vedas. How? By having faith in Lord Chaitanya. Implicit faith. Just this one thing. Become recognized, as the verse we read this morning. Become recognized by Lord Chaitanya. Just that he smiles. Just smiles. That's all. Then anything becomes possible. And how do we get that recognition of Lord Chaitanya? This is Prabhupada's teaching. By the recommendation of Lord Nityananda. Now how do you get the recognition of Lord Nityananda? If Lord Nityananda recommends this person as a nice devotee, Lord Chaitanya will recognize you. And how do you get the mercy, that mercy of Lord Nityananda? By approaching the jughais and mudhais of this world. That's how. And there's lots of them. They're small. They're not like so bad as the jughai and mudhai that Lord Nityananda approached. But persons of this world, by the dvipada pashus, persons that are not regulated. And not, this is not a condescending view. It's the misfortune of Kali Yuga. It's the concern of saintly people. As Vyasadeva had such a concern, therefore he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. He compiled all the Vedas and ended writing Srimad Bhagavatam for the benefit of the world. So we're just little small people, each one of us, little. Very little. Very, very little. But if we can imbibe or internalize the qualities of a Vaishnava, the teachings of a Vaishnava, and kindly give that same gift that we have received to others in the form of literature or prasadam or words about Krishna, that's like Kalidas exchange with Jadu Thakur, show by nice Vaishnava exchanges with one another. How attractive is the life of Krishna consciousness? It's very attractive. If we practice it properly, it'll attract others. It's the honey that attracts the bees. The bee-like persons who wish some relief from this age of Kali. So we can act as agents of Krishna by taking this message, bringing the message inside, living that message, and inviting others to receive it also. This is our, as followers of Lord Chaitanya, this is our life. This is what we do. Wherever we go, in your home, that's a good place to start. In the workplace, in the marketplace, in the society in general as you move about. We're little emissaries or representatives of Srila Prabhupada, giving that same message that he gave to all of us. And it's right here. So take the message come regularly and hear these classes, take the message and bring it into your heart, and then live it, your life will become very happy, and you can help make others also happy. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.